buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my new, relatively new producer engineer. It's been be 2 weeks tomorrow since we had the ownership change. Bustos Media, based out of Portland, has taken over KVOI, and they have a vision, and I've bought into it. And that vision is localism. We're local talk here, Richard Elias, Pete McConnell's supervisor, chair, with me in studio. Richard, we are local talk from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., and that means you're going to hear a lot of different voices on this radio station, which I, for one, think's a good thing.
I think so, and I certainly wish a lot of success to Bustos Communications, and I'm glad that they're here in Tucson and glad they're working at making local voices heard, yeah, no matter what they are. I don't expect to agree with all of them on any given day, but I think our dialogue and our discourse is so valuable that a resource like this is tremendous for Tucson at this
point.
It
really is. And Bob Dio, Bob, and I know you've been contributing to Steve Rivera's program, which comes on after this program. Steve's got a tremendous history of sports journalism in this town, and he hit a home run. I mean, his show called On the Ball, Eye on the Ball,
yeah,
is doing really well.
He is a sharp guy that really knows local sports, and
yeah,
I think he's delivering something that you can't find anywhere in Tucson, anywhere.
It's an outstanding product. That was Bob Dio, and Bob is my new producer-engineer, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition, November the 14th already, 2018, and we are from AM 1030 KVOI. Kind of our new signature logo is Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. And of course, you can listen to the program anywhere in the world on my website, which we're live here at noon, Monday through Friday. That's buckmastershow.com. And of course, 24/7, we have kvoi.com with all of our programs, all of our podcasts, the complete show archive available on my website. Richard, our shows go back to my first show when we started the radio program back in January 2011. So we're kind of building up a historic archive.
That was at least 10 pounds ago for me.
10 pounds ago. Yeah, there you go. Our live line number is 790-2040 if you care to join us. I could do without these easterly winds. I love Tucson. I love our weather. But when the wind blows strong from the east, people get funny. They're migraine makers, that wind. Yesterday, I posted about this, Richard, on my Facebook page this morning. The Weather Service recorded an 80-mile-an-hour gust on Mount Hopkins, which is in the Santa Rita Mountains south of Tucson.
I saw that post,
yeah,
and I was quite amazed,
yes,
by it. 80 miles per hour. That's,
I mean,
that's a huge gust.
Come on. Yeah, so
yeah,
folks who are kind of sensitive to dust and everything, hopefully the winds will start to die down. We have a lot to cover with Richard Elias, who is the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. First of all, Richard, quite candidly, and I know you're always honest with us, were you surprised at the margin that the $430 million bond package that went down? I mean, it was a big, strong message.
Oh, absolutely. It was a butt-whipping. And we just have to face that. It was a loss of huge dimensions and on a critical issue. And so I think we have to, at Pima County, we have to do some soul searching and figure out what happened there. We have to look at the canvas carefully, and we have to give kudos to the folks who insisted that a no vote was the correct vote. They worked hard, and they were successful in many ways. And that's a hard one to take, but it's okay. We move forward, and we're going to try and figure this puzzle out again and work with the forces that we have at finding some solutions to our pavement preservation problems. We're not unique to that. 14 out of the 15 counties in Arizona suffer a similar kind of problem. Nationwide, the problem is about $420 billion. So we're not alone in it, but that does not absolve Pima County's responsibility for taking care of roads, especially in the unincorporated areas, but also sharing with the jurisdictions as well. So I'm troubled, But I'm a realist, and I recognize what happened. Message heard, message received, and we're going to go back and figure out how to make things work again.
Mr. Huckleberry became kind of the face of all of this. Was that kind of disappointing to you?
Well, I don't think we ran a very good campaign. No, I don't think we did. And I'm disappointed by that. And Chuck shouldn't necessarily be the face of Pima County during election periods. And I think the board should have taken a bigger role in all of that. And we should have gone out to our constituencies that we know are there that support us. And our efforts were not very grassroots oriented. I think I got one piece of mail from Pro 463, and that was it. And I live in Midtown, which is the heart of people who should probably vote in favor of those bonds. So I was surprised by that and disappointed as well.
Did this group sit down with you, the group that was pro the bonds, about messaging? Did you have meetings with them? Were you involved with it?
I was not, and I was quite surprised by that and shocked by that.
What about Chuck Huckleberry? Do you remain confident that Mr. Huckleberry should remain as the Pima County Administrator?
I think I do. I know I do. And the board majority, I think, is in the same spot. I don't think Chuck has done anything malfeasant that would merit him being removed or terminated in that regard. He has been there a long time, but he's developed a lot of expertise. And I think of the financial crisis that we went through together with Mr. Huckleberry in 2008 and onward. And I think we did an excellent job of managing our way through a colossal fiscal calamity. And so I think that speaks volumes about the quality of his work and our work together with him. So I'm there, but everything needs to be looked at. It's soul searching time, as I said, and message delivered.
The whole budgeting process needs to be looked at.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And will be, I'm sure, right?
I'm dedicated to doing that, absolutely.
So why did the vote take so long to be counted here in Pima County and Maricopa County?
Well, you know,
leading some to come up with conspiracy theories about there's funny business going on.
Well, I have seen no evidence of any kind of funny business or cheating going on or any of that. I just think those are absurd accusations that are baseless. We did have the largest, well, we broke records really with a turnout. We had 67% voters showing up, and that was amazing. But we had 33,000 early ballots that were dropped off at the polls, and we issued 20,000 provisional ballots. And so when there was a big question several years ago about the RTA election and its results and what that all meant, there was a new process put in place. And we told everybody, this is going to ensure that every vote gets counted correctly. And we match signatures, and we take our time with those ballots that are dropped off at the polls. We take our time with the provisional ballots that are given out. And so as a result of that, it takes time. But we have accurate, fair, every vote is counted elections. We'll be done by Monday. We got some more returns that'll be coming out today. We got about the last of the 2,000 early ballots that yet to be counted that'll be done tonight. And then we're going to start working on those provisional ballots. They should be done over the weekend, but we'll probably hold those results until Monday.
What do you think of the change? And it is a change now in Arizona. This is now a purple state. New York Times today, big article about the lessons that can be learned for Democrats moving forward to 2020, and they talk about Chris, Senator-elect Sinema and the campaign she ran, an inclusive campaign that was appealing to a lot of people who, for whatever reason, had been out of the system in Arizona. There's a sea change happening here.
Oh, yeah. There's something big happening, and we've all been expecting it and knowing that it's going to happen, but it's coming to fruition. Kirsten ran a great campaign. I think the other campaign was very negative. Tim Steller's column this morning was very interesting from that perspective. We want some statewide seats for Democrats. It's a big change. The House of Representatives in the state of Arizona is now at 31-29. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of My assistant, Andres Cano, who's going to be a representative in LD3, did a great job. But there's so many others like him. And so the time has come. Change is here. We need to embrace it and continue to make Arizona into a better and better and better place for people to live.
790-2040 if you have any comments or questions for Richard Elias. But right now we're going to pause. It's hard to believe that Thanksgiving, Richard, is a week from tomorrow. It's here. The holidays are very early this year.
Well, you know, and I'm one of those people who likes jalapenos with my turkey. Mm. So I'm going to have to find me some really good ones for Thanksgiving.
Well, I don't think Steve and the team up at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, do jalapenos, but they can do probably everything else when it comes to with their baked breads and all their dinner rolls for your table and the pastries and the quiche. Why not give Steve and the team a ring? It's 579-1959. Visit their website, monasdanishbaker.com. They're located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. The favorite pie of Americans, Richard Elias, is no longer pumpkin pie. I was reading now the latest survey that was done on this shows apple pie has now become the favorite. Are you a pie guy?
I love pies, mm-hmm. you know, and apple pie is delicious. Calabaza, pumpkin is always very good too, but I've always been a little partial to cherry pie.
Cherry pie. There you go. Well, Steve and the team can certainly do a cherry pie because I know they've done one in the past for my wife who loves cherry pie. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. And there'll also be a link to about, I don't know, over 20 different folks, businesses and organizations that believe in what we do here and sponsor this program and make it possible that we can come to you on KVOI Monday through Friday from noon to one. And my heartfelt thanks to these people for their support. And I like to, and I do call myself Tucson's most trusted voice, and they've put their trust in me, and I do appreciate it very much.
We appreciate your honesty and all the work you do, Bill. I'm very proud to be on this show all the time. I'd also would thank all your sponsors for helping us make sure that the word and voices of differing opinions get out to the public. And so that's absolutely critical. And your show is broadcast from border to border, mm-hmm. East to west. And just what a great thing it's been.
Yeah, anywhere in the world you can hear our program. And certainly with our very strong signal at KVOI, you can listen to this program almost all the way to Lordsburg, New Mexico. So it's there. Certainly a very strong signal. Bob Dio, let's take a pause right here. And speaking of the great sponsors, we'll hear from them. Be back with Richard Elias. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners, Richard Elias, over to that area. And I know you love that Grant County, New Mexico area.
Absolutely. Wonderful place. And in fact, went to dinner on Monday night with my daughter, and she said, "Dad, let's go back to Silver City."
There you go.
I said, "Let's go."
There you go, folks. Totally unsolicited. Let's go to Silver City. It's only a three-hour drive over there. Easy drive and so many great things to do, hanging out in historic Silver City. Visit southwestnewmexico.org, the complete listing of places to stay in. There's some really fine places and so much to do. Jeff has been waiting patiently on our live line at 790-2040. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. How about yourself?
Thanks for asking. Doing well.
Good. I had a question for Supervisor. So getting back to Prop 463, I heard you mention that you didn't think a very good campaign was run educating the people on Pro 63, 463. I did see commercials with Ron Barber and Jim Click, which are pretty well-known in the Tucson community, so I don't think that was the issue. I just think a lot of Pima County residents don't think the money's being spent properly. I hear a lot of supervisors and Chuck talk about how great the Loop is, and I agree, the Loop is very, very nice. But the minority of Pima County residents use the Loop, and they do for recreational purposes, where the majority of us use the roads, and we use those for necessities, like to get to work. So what are your thoughts on that, on possibly the money just not being spent in the right places, not doing the blocking and tackling before we do things like the Loop?
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Go ahead, Richard Elias.
Well, I think there is a lot of concern over that, Jeff, and that's why I say we need to do some soul searching and take a look at all of that, because I'm a realist, and we heard that voice loud and clear one more time. So I think we do need to look at that, but I think the entirety of services that we try and offer to folks are all very important. So those are really tough decisions, and we need to work together to try and find those. And we have not found that kind of togetherness on the board recently. And so we really need to work at that. I would argue with you about the campaign, though. It was not very grassroots in nature. And I got to tell you, that's what works in District 5. And I know that's what works in District 2. And so when you forego that to just go with big names on commercials, as opposed to knocking on doors and talking to people and making it accessible to folks in the most basic kind of way, you lose. And so that's been my experience, and that's why I say that, Jeff.
Yeah, and Jeff is saying that there is that perception that perhaps the money would not have been spent in the right way. And it's hard sometimes, as you know, Richard Lee, is to overcome perceptions.
Well,
some of this stuff.
Yes, exactly. I think that's truth. But But we need to do that, and that means you need to communicate clearly and fairly. And the way we've done transportation in the past may not be the way we do transportation into the future. And so that's really the question, I think, at hand.
How about this new legislative makeup? You touched a little bit on it. This may be a legislature that may go in some different directions that we haven't previously seen in several decades anyway.
It is a lot closer, and there are some very difficult issues that the state faces. Transportation funding is one of them. Water is another. I think those are big issues that we need to start working on now, and we need to come to some kind of statewide consensus about local control.
How about local housing situation for veterans?
That's another one, and we just had a great opening together with the Tucson Metropolitan Ministry, opening 20 apartments for veterans and low-income seniors at they're in Midtown on Country Club, and it was a great project. We put about almost $900,000, some federal, some bond money in it from Pima County. Very successful. We're very, very proud of that, and it's good to have it open up, and it's good to be able to talk about it during Veterans Day week. So critical things like that continue to go on.
The opioid crisis, was that something?
That's another one.
Came
you know?
Up during the recent board meeting?
Absolutely. At our last board meeting, we approved a 3-year, $1.4 million grant from Health and Human Services and the feds that is going to expand and enhance local efforts to combat opioid addiction. This is becoming a bigger problem nationwide than we ever understood, but it's really about behavioral health and how we can get people to get off the drugs that they're on and find a healthier way to deal with pain or the other kind of issues that they have in their life that are causing them to head down this road and really be serious about it. So this is a good chance for us to continue the work that we've been doing. And that's a good question. When you look at the behavioral health needs, you look at the opioid crisis, you look at affordable housing, and then you still have to deal with road repair.
Mm-hmm.
See, so those are competing interests that we have that we have to continue to work on that balance of how we're going to work those things out with local contributions together with grants and all that kind of stuff. So like I said, we have some really deep things that we need to look at in our own hearts and the way we go about budgeting and doing our business there at Pima County.
And this board has been so divided in the past. Somehow, maybe a New Year's resolution would be, hey, can't we all work together?
I think we need to work closer together. I would agree with that completely.
I mean, what are some of the issues that this is always the time of year we look and reflect? What do you see in 2019? I mean, you've got issues with the sheriff's department. There's border issues, there's the roads, there's the opioid crisis, so many things. It's going to be a very busy agenda.
I think so.
Can the legislature help at all with the road situation?
Absolutely. I'm taking a look at the gas tax again. It absolutely needs to be increased. It has not been increased since it was put in place. And there are 14 of the 15 counties that deal with transportation and road repair issues. Absolutely critical. So we're looking for some help there. I think that's still reasonable, although we can't expect there to be any one pill that is going to fix everything. That's just not going to happen. But I think there's a lot of things we can work together on. I think public health is one of the areas where we can all work together and working at solidifying our position of health care and insurance availability to everyone in the state of Arizona so that we don't all pay the cost for it, because that's what happens when we don't pay attention and we don't take care of things. Major issue in this year's midterms elections everywhere. Again, I think that's something that we can work together on that is of critical importance to everybody. I think we can work together on roads. We all know they need to be repaired. It's just a matter of how we go about doing that. So All of those things are critical to us, and it's incumbent on all of us to work together. And I think we can also work together on improving the dialogue and improving the conversation that takes place and stopping some of the acrimonious confrontations that are taking place in our community and getting people to get along better and open the door for each other and smile at each other and accept each other for our differences and enjoy them and learn about what different kind of things we can do to make our society more cosmopolitan and make it so we get along better. I think those are important issues for leadership
Yesterday was International Be Kind Day. I say we continue that 365 days a year. Richard Elias, thank you so much. And
you're very welcome.
I hope you have a really nice Thanksgiving coming up for you and your family.
Well, I wish the best to you and all the KVOI family, mm-hmm. but especially to the Buckmasters. I hope you all have a good one and are able to share some great dishes on Thanksgiving. And
I can't wait to play my new reggae Christmas CD. Hey.
Rastafari. There you go.
All right. Thank you, Richard. Have a great day.
Thank you, Bill.
Coming up next, what is the future of zoos in the United States? A guy who is one of the bright stars of the whole zoo industry, Jason Jacobs, is on the live line. He'll join us after the break. It's KVOI, the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The music from Everybody's Talking, and that is what we're all about here on the all-new KVOI. Local talk with our new owners, Bustos Media, who believe in local talk. In fact, it's all local talk shows here from 6 a.m. until 7 o'clock in the evening. It's all about KVOI being local and localism. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out Green Things for all your gardening needs. They're on the web at greenthings.com. And, of course, Green Things on their 13 acres, now the home of Zocalo Village. Five shops at Zocalo Village at Green Things. All that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. So you can get all of your gardening needs taken care of and some great items for the garden, pottery and great items for the interior of your home from Mexico and Latin America. Well, what is the future of zoos in the 21st century in this country? That will be our topic for the next half hour or so. Certainly the people in Tucson believe in zoos. Last November, Tucson voters approved a ballot initiative that increased the city's sales tax by 0.1% for the next 10 years. That measure is expected to generate millions of dollars to upgrade the zoo's aging infrastructure and build new interactive exhibits at Tucson's Reed Park Zoo. On our live line is Jason Jacobs, who for years, 4 or 5 years, I believe, was the director of the Reed Park Zoo here in Tucson. Jason left Tucson to join the Sacramento Zoo. The Sacramento Zoological Society chose Jason from among 38 prospects and 5 finalists. They were very impressed with his track record at working at some of the leading zoos in America, especially what he did and accomplished here in Tucson. Jason is with us now on the live line from Sacramento. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to be on the line with you, Bill, and to speak to you.
You know, as we look back on that run-up to the vote in Tucson, people here in town really said, we do believe in the future of Reed Park and zoos generally. So that's something you've got to be proud of, I'm sure, and something that you'll carry with you and have carried with you now on your next assignment in Sacramento.
Yes, I'm very proud of what the team and I did in Tucson when I was there, and looking back at it, I can't believe it's been a year since the sales tax passed, because that was a very stressful few weeks leading up to it, and Nancy Kluge, who's the current CEO of the Reed Park Zoo in Tucson, has done a tremendous job of taking the reins and really pushing the institution forward, so I'm so proud and happy for them.
What is the future of the Sacramento Zoo? What are some of the challenges you're facing over there in the California capital?
Well, that's it's a monumental challenge, because what we have announced is what we would like to do is relocate the Sacramento Zoo. We are very similar to Tucson's Reed Park Zoo in terms of size, staffing, except we don't have a parking lot. And we're a little smaller, but we're in a community with a metro population of 2.1 million people.
Wow.
We get over 500,000 visitors a year without a parking lot, and our studies showed that if we had a parking lot and the right zoological experience, meaning the business side of the zoo to support the mission side of the zoo, we will attract over 1 million visitors a year if we had the right piece of property. So we are endeavoring on the task to relocate the zoo so that we can stay true to our mission and work with populations of endangered species educate our community and really be the best zoo that we can for our community.
What is the future of zoos in this country anyway?
Well, I tell people all the time that if you didn't have zoos in the United States, you would need to invent them, because the harsh reality is many of the species, the iconic species that we think of when we go to a zoo, the elephants, the giraffes, the lions, the tigers, they're facing real challenges in the wild. In the last 30 years in Africa, giraffes and lions have both undergone a 50% population drop. Now, zoos in the United States do support conservation efforts in the wild. In the next 5 years, AZA-accredited zoos will support animals in the wild to the tune of $1 billion in financial resources. And that's important, but at the same time, there's very few places in the wild where animals are truly wild. Many parks and national reserves, they're in areas that are managed by people. And part of that, it gets back to why I said we're going to need zoos, because part of being a relevant 21st century zoo is supporting animals in the wild, but also building populations of animals in zoos with the fear and the unfortunate reality that there might not be a wild to send animals to or for animals to enjoy in the next 25 to 50 years. I tell people that, tigers are another great example. There's 3,200 to 3,500 tigers left in all of Asia. That's it. You know, you get more people going to a shopping mall in the United States every day than there are tigers in the world. And I believe that for our mission, zoos are we have to have zoos in the United States. If you put aside the mission part, if you look at the combined attendance of the AZA-accredited zoos, it was 181 million people visited AZA-accredited zoos and aquariums last year. That's more than everyone who attends NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, National Hockey League, all of those professional sporting events combined. You had more people going to AZA-accredited zoos and aquariums. So from a mission standpoint, we need to be there. And from a public education standpoint, we're going to be there too.
We're on the live line with Jason Jacobs. Jason is the CEO and executive director of the Sacramento Zoo, which will be undergoing some major changes. I mentioned how Tucson people voted and said yes overwhelmingly to the future of our Reed Park Zoo. I also want to mention, Jason, that a wildlife conservation park is coming to the south of Tucson, Sahuarita. This is going to be a venture with the Phoenix Zoo, teaming up with Freeport Macroran, the mining company. So that's a partnership that could be very interesting. 1,100 acres east of the Nogales Highway and north of Pima Mine Road, and this would establish an animal breeding and care center. Jason, I want to ask you, how important are these partnerships with business and zoos?
They are incredibly important, because ultimately zoos have to work with as many people and expose our mission to as many people as we can so that we can save wildlife. And so this partnership that you're mentioning about in southern Arizona, that's a great partnership. And the Phoenix Zoo has been a leader for many years within the zoo community. Their executive director, Bert Castro, is a good friend of mine, and I relied on him several times when I was the director of the Reed Park Zoo for help or staffing assistance. But really, we no one can do this alone. You can't save a species alone. You have to have great partners. Everything good in life comes from collaboration. It's not just something that can be applied to the business operation or the mission operation of a zoo, right? We all work with each other to make communities better, to have good schools, good libraries, and zoos work with wildlife biologists, government agencies, corporate partners, and of course communities to save species and wildlife. And I mean, that's what it's about in the future.
Let's go to our live line now. Robert has a question for Jason Jacobs. Go ahead, Robert.
Hi, Bill. Jason, this is pretty far-fetched, but is there any way of taking any number or kind of these endangered species and herding them in North America?
You know, you're not the first person to bring that up. People have suggested that, but when you do that, let's say, for instance, rhinoceros, right? Rhinoceros are facing many challenges throughout wherever they live, and if you try to establish wild herds in North America, automatically you're affecting some type of ecosystem by introducing an exotic wildlife into a native ecosystem, a native habitat. Really, what the U.S. zoos are doing are creating, you know, these populations of these species that are managed. We look at their genetics, but as far as introducing large populations of non-native species to the wild, to the United States, that is certainly well above my pay grade. And you know, it has been looked at in the past, but I think really what people are looking at, the solutions are working with biologists in the range countries that these animals live in, utilizing the U.S. zoos as advocates for those programs, raising money, lending staff expertise and time, and that seems to be what's working right now. But certainly that's definitely an out-of-the-box idea, and it definitely has some merit worth looking into.
Has the buffalo reintroduction been a success in the western United States, Jason Jacobs?
Well, when you talk about the buffalo, the American bison, that's a great example of an animal that was saved from extinction by zoos. And I would say, yes, I'm not a bison expert, but if you look at the numbers of what American bison were at the time, the U.S. zoos, the National Zoo in Washington, D.C., and the Bronx Zoo, especially both of those institutions have a long history. They had huge bison programs with a goal of reintroduction. And now you have farms where bison are actually farmed for their meat. So I know some people might not like the sound of that, but definitely their numbers have increased, not to the point of, you know, when there used to be millions of them roaming the plains. But there's other great examples of zoos that have worked together to save species from the extinction. The California condor, the black-footed ferret, several species of amphibians, the Bali Myna, the golden lion tamarin, which is a little monkey that lives in Brazil. These are all examples of animals that would be extinct if it were not for the conservation and the breeding efforts of zoos. And we've been able to reintroduce these species, but reintroduction is not an easy task.
All right, Jason, stick around. We've got another segment with you, but first I want to tell all of our listeners about my favorite bakery in Tucson, and that's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Call Steve right now, Steve, chief baker and owner, 579-1959. Order your dinner rolls and all of your pies, pastries, and Steve suggests, how about a quiche to brighten the table? So Mona's right now taking your order for Thanksgiving. Mona'sDanishBaker.com is their website. There's also a link on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. If you're in the vicinity, stop by right now. They're open for lunch at Mona's Danish Bakery, Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on the all-new KVOI local talk from 6 a.m. to 7 in the evening. And, of course, we're with you on Buckmaster during the noon hour, noon to 1, Monday through Friday. This is our home, where we've been for years and where we hope to be for many more years. Sacramento Zoo, their new director, well, relatively new. It's been almost a year. I guess that still qualifies as fairly new. Their director and CEO, Jason Jacobs, is with us on the live line from the California capital of Sacramento. Of course, Jason had a very successful run at the Reed Park Zoo here in Tucson. We have a live line caller. David would like to join our conversation about endangered species. Go ahead, David.
Yes, I just want to bring up the fact that we have an endangered species of pygmy owl right here in the upland Sonoran Desert here in Pima County, and it was going extinct, but they delisted it so the developers could scrape the desert and turn it into all this cookie-cutter development, and it very angers me because not only the pygmy owl uses this habitat, but there's a lot of other species like the tortoise that this habitat developers are just destroying, turning the cookie-cutter development. And it angers me because when they did that, my taxes went from $1,500 to over $5,000 to pay the bill for it.
All right. Thank you, David. Jason, your thoughts on, I don't know if you know anything about the pygmy owl or the tortoise, but go ahead.
Well, it's important. You know, obviously the caller was upset, and it's important that if you care about wildlife, if you care about wild areas, you need to let your civic leaders know about this and band together. Because there are hundreds of thousands of people who care about wildlife out there. Get involved with local wildlife organizations or your local zoo, Audubon Society. There's a bunch of groups that work together to help wildlife, and the future of wildlife is going to be collaborations, what we talked about. We have to work together, and that's what I would advise people. If there's an environmental issue, find other like-minded individuals who are going to be your champions also.
Nearly two centuries after the first modern zoo opened in London's Regent Park, the very concept of a place, Jason, where families can visit and observe animals is being questioned like never before. How do we get the right balance of the demands of entertainment, education, and conservation to all be together on the same page?
Well, that's a very long question. First and foremost, zoos are really changing. The zoos that you went to 30 years ago look very different from what they do today. And it's about assessing the quality of life for the animal, making sure we have the best habitats we can provide for them, engaging their lives, and at the same time engaging the guest, making sure that a trip to the zoo is not just a trip to the zoo to go look at the animals. Of course, we want people to have fun and look at the animals, but we want them to learn, we want them to care, and ultimately, we want to change their behaviors to make a difference for wildlife. There's a couple zoos that do a great job at this. I would highly encourage your listeners to look at the Houston Zoo's Culture of Conservation and Zoos Victoria over in Australia. Those two zoos in particular have done a tremendous job of changing the culture of conservation or the behavior changing of their guest and assessing it and making some real changes. And it's quite impressive if you look at what they've done.
How many zoos are accredited by that organization that you mentioned at the beginning of our interview?
The Association of Zoos and Aquariums has 233 accredited zoos and aquariums throughout North America. They have some international delegates also. There's also the European version of that called EASA, the European Association of Zoos and Aquariums. When we work together, there's a WASA, which is the World Association of Zoos and Aquariums. And so we work with zoos across the globe to find solutions for wildlife, to look at how to better manage our zoos and aquariums, because why reinvent the wheel? If I'm building a habitat for an animal here at the Sacramento Zoo, I'm going to call other zoos to find out what went right, what went wrong. We don't compete in that aspect, right? We're not going to compete. I don't compete. The Sacramento Zoo doesn't compete with Tucson's Reed Park Zoo. In fact, we talk all the time, right? Because that's what we do. We want to make sure that all zoos are successful. That's the ultimate goal.
I only have a minute left, Jason. How are you going to move the Sacramento Zoo? That's going to be a huge
Oh, my gosh.
And you've got a minute to do it. No.
We're going to work with our partners at the City of Sacramento. We've already received tremendous feedback from the community that they want a larger zoo. And we're going to do that so that we can be a relevant 21st century zoo and save species and be a community destination.
What are your marquee animals over there?
At the Sacramento Zoo, well, we just had a snow leopard cub born a couple months ago. We have orangutan, we have chimpanzees, giraffe, lion. We just had a family of meerkats come in, and we're going to add the magical, mysterious okapi in a few weeks, which is a gorgeous animal that's only found in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Hmm. If you look up what an okapi is, it's the closest living relative to the giraffe.
What are you most proud of during your time? Was it 4 years or 5 years?
Four and a half years.
What are you most proud of?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I think really that working with the board and the staff and the city, we were able to really energize the city and make about the zoo, the whole community, and add things like a carousel and the meerkats and poison dart frogs, and obviously getting that sales tax passed. That was crucial for the future of that zoo, and that was a tremendous team that did it. I can't say enough good things about Nancy Kluge, their former CEO. She was my partner in everything in my 4.5 years there.
Right.
And I'm so proud that zoo is going to have a dedicated revenue stream to help it over the next decade, and they're going to do some incredible things there, I tell
right.
you. It's really going to be put on the map.
Jason Jacobs, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Jason Jacobs from Sacramento, and we'll be talking about the Reed Park Zoo in the coming days. But Steve Rivera's next. It's Eye on the Ball. I'm Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.